Hi, Suzette LT here. Thank you for joining me for another fact-filled episode on Suzette Live Talk. Where else but blogtalkradio.com, broadcasting live from Southern California every Saturday night at 8 p.m. It's all right here with me, Suzette LT. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Suzette Live Talk. Good evening, everyone, and I was hoping I would have had my voice back by today's show, and it doesn't seem like it quite is, and that sucks. At least for me, it does anyway. I don't know what it sounds like on the other end, but it couldn't be good. Anyway, we've got 90 minutes to make of this tonight, and of course, everything and anything that could go wrong for the end of the year has gone wrong, but we're going to still do it. We're going to make the best of it. I've got Chief in the chat room. I've got two callers on the line, and that's great. I'm glad at least I have somebody here to keep me company this evening. Many of the shows on BTR this evening or this week are talking about the end of the year and the achievements of the Trump administration and the failures or the, trying to think of a good word for it, for the anti-Trumpers. Egg on their face, I guess you could say. I don't know. Splat is all I can say to them. Many of them didn't think he was going to make it. They kept insisting that he would be locked up by now, impeached by now, definitely gone by now. And unfortunately for them, and lucky for us, he is not. What?
Something beautiful on their face.
Oh, I've got my husband with me here this evening, joining me to help me out. Bless him. Let's see here. There we go. Wasn't quite the splat I wanted, but hey, it works. All right. You do sound just a little bit hoarse. Yes, I am. Okay, good. Understandable. I'm glad. So you can hear me. And my words are coming through over the air. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Chief, I see you there. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I'm sorry I didn't make it to your show last week. I'm still suffering the effects from being ill. I wasn't doing much of anything over Christmas. I understand a lot of people were down sick. So I hope people are feeling better. And how you doing? Chief? Okay, he's typing. I also have opened up the line for caller 1111. I'm always open for new callers, comments, rants, raves. Let me have it. But if you're going to rant or rave, I'm going to clock you at 3 seconds, but knock yourself out.
Don't let me start ranting.
What's that?
I said, don't let me start ranting because then the show's over and And you haven't gotten a word in, so I try to be quiet.
You do, and I'm always dragging you in to help me out.
I'm always here for you.
I know you are.
I sometimes even listen.
Gee, thanks, Chief.
A lot of times I'm listening to you, and I'm also typing notes for tomorrow night. Sometimes happens at the same time. So.
Multitasking. Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Oh, I'm trying to like this. Oh, shoot. Sound effects that I have here on my studio board. Why not? You seem to always have those fun ones. Have you heard from Stephen lately?
I have not heard from him lately. I don't know. He's probably snowed in.
Oh. Did you have a good Christmas?
Pardon? I was home for Christmas, which was kind of, I couldn't get into doing a show last Sunday because it was Christmas Eve. I'm now back on the road. Oh, actually, only about, I'm in Barstow. That's where I am.
Oh, you're not too far away.
I'm not too far from you. I have nothing better to do. I was just pulling up my sound effects, because if you want sound effects, you know I'm the one to go to for sound effects, right?
Yep, you sure are. You've always got them coming up left and right, I tell you what. From crickets to ba-dum-bumps and chairs and all that good stuff. Oh.
Yes, but the way they usually go over is...
There you go. Let me hit you back. There we go. Oh, yeah. It's a battle of the sound effects.
Yes, tonight we are going to have 90... Let me see. I'll see your crickets and raise you a zombie.
Go ahead. No, that was me. Oh, you got me. Let's see.
Yeah, you don't have a truck horn there.
No, again, we were misled that there was supposedly... protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night and decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job.
Ascertained that was not the fact.
But
people could have known that.
But, yeah, she is a butt, all right. And hopefully she'll be her butt in jail. Chief.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
There you go. Thank you. All right. And that was our sound effects. Sound off. Okay.
Well, now that we have chased the entire audience away.
No kidding, huh? I was going to actually go over the past shows that I've done for the year, because it was been an eventful year at that, since people are talking about Trump thing. And we had some quizzes going on. We had some, for my show, that is, throughout the year. We talked about some mind control. We talked about a group called the Humanist. We talked about technocracy, which is having to do with the allocation of energy, financial means through energy means, paying for that. NAFTA. Hey, we haven't really done anything with that yet, have we? The United States. I guess not. Okay. American history. All these fun quizzes. And they wouldn't load up for beats tonight. They just kept spinning. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. So that was lame, to say the least. We talked about the shadow government, the Obama shadow government. And we also talked a little bit about a person or entity that I learned about from Andrea Shea's show. She won't be back till after the first of the year. And she had spoke about Q Anon. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that name or entity and what that person's kind of been doing behind the scenes, working, I don't want to say, with Donald Trump. He could be. Q happens to be like the highest security, one of the highest securities in the Department of Energy, and anonymous, that's why the Anon, and has been talking through different channels over the internet, billboard, or what do you call it, I guess billboards, where people can post messages and talk to each other. They're not the normal social media where you would get normal, you know, like Facebook or, I don't know, what, Instagram, something like that. It's far more complicated, I guess, if you're into the hacking or learning a little bit about or knowing a little bit about those type of things. Anyway, this QAnon had talked about different things, events that were going to occur in, regarding the Trump administration, regarding the arrests that have been made overseas with the pedophiles, other events that have occurred, and has been spot on so far. There hasn't been anything that this person has talked about, or entity again, that has been shown to be incorrect. So I thought that was very interesting. The person speaks to another person in a code form, like a government code form, and when they speak to them using this code, the answers are the questions, if that makes any sense. And so they spoke about how the Clinton will go down. The swamp is being drained. Currently, right now, I guess there were some recent arrests that were made overseas and in the UK. I'm trying to find that page again. Where was that? And he tells us to hold on to our bootstraps for the ride, because a lot of these different people in government, where we talk about draining the swamp, will go down, and they're gathering the information. Apparently Sessions is working with the Trump administration. I don't know how that's all going to play out, because Sessions has been so quiet. He hasn't really been anywhere to be found. One thing can be noted, though, recently the executive order that Trump had signed about confiscating people's possessions if you were caught trafficking. And so that's a good thing, because that way they don't have an out. They can't get out. They can't get away. If you notice, at the same time that had happened, the person that owns Google had resigned. So the timing in that was kind of interesting as well. Why would that person just walk away? Mr. Schmidt, I guess his name was. I don't know. Chief, did you say something?
No, I didn't. I set my coffee cup down.
Oh. Okay. I could have sworn I heard something.
But if I have a news flash, I'll let you know.
All right.
I'm listening to you and just typing the first lines of my notes. So continue.
Okay.
And scream chief really loud if you need something.
Okay. Will do. Let's see here. I found, now this posting, just to give you an idea of what this QAnon is talking about, since I can't really get access to anything else right now, we'll just have to settle for this. But again, it's just a sample. And here it is here. Make it big. Okay, so this person will ask questions. Tripp added, see coordinated effort to misdirect guide to reading the crumbs necessary to continue. Attached graphic is correct, because I guess they put codes within the graphic. Graphic is necessary and vital. Timestamp and order is critical. Re-review graphic in full each day post new release. Learn to distinguish between relevant, non-relevant news. Disinformation is real. disinformation is necessary, as in dis, D-I-S. So, it says EX, semicolon, US, M-L-N-G, one false, S-A true. Why was this necessary? What questions were asked? Essay prior to essay events. Why is this relevant? Think mirror. Look there, or here, or there. Truth is behind you. What is a map? Why is a map useful? Why is a legend useful? What is a sequence? Why is this relevant? When does a map become a guide? What is a keystroke? So there, he asks questions, and you're supposed to answer the questions. Answering the questions leads you to, or gives you the answer. And so find the keystone. Moves and counter moves. They never thought she would lose. Snow White. Godfather 3, Iron Eagle, Q. And then it says, closing act, dismantled, impossible to clean, operations, no such agency. POTUS, NAT, SEC, e-briefing, 3:02 a.m., please stand by. And that says, confirmed correct. And this was in November that this was going through. So it's hard to swallow, important to progress. Who are the puppet masters? House of Sod, 6++, 4 trillion+. Rothschild, 6++, -2 trillion+. Soros, 6+, 1 trillion+. Focus on above, in parentheses, 3. Public wealth disclosures, false. Many governments of the world feed the eye. Think slush funds. Parentheses, feeder. Think war. Parentheses, feeder. Think environmental pacts. Parentheses, feeder. Triangle has 3 sides. I, a providence. Follow the bloodlines. What is the keystone? Does Satan exist? Does the thought of Satan exist? Who worships Satan? What is a cult? Epstein Island. What is a temple? What occurs in a temple? Worship. Why is the temple on top of the mountain? How many levels might exist below? So it kind of sounds like in this area here that I just read, he was speaking to these sacrificial pedophilia sickos that abduct children, abuse the children, sexually abuse them, and then perform these sickos, you know, type of ceremonies and their little private islands that they have. And so he's trying to make people aware of this. Let's see. What is the significance of the colors, design, and symbol above the dome? Why is this relevant? Who are the puppet masters? Have the puppet masters traveled to this island? When? How often? Why? Vladimir Putin, the New World Order, worships Satan. And then he ends his that message, Q. Let's see. Why were the events in SA extraordinary? Who was arrested? What will bank records provide? List names. Family history, investment, ownership, stakes, and point-to-point contacts. Alawid, Huma, Bo, Citigroup, U.S. Control. Why is this relevant? It's relevant because he says House of Saud. House of Saud, U.S. Control. Follow the money. What power shift recently occurred? Was a new king appointed? Coincidence? Dark to light. Why is this relevant? One side of the triangle removed. First time in history, in parentheses. Other sides failing. plus Q. Next message talks about Rothschild's owned and controlled banks. So I don't know how much people know about, you know, we talk about the deep state. Well, who is the deep state? There are so many different pieces to the deep state or the shadow government, however, whatever you want to call them. Because they're all over the world, for one. They're within our intelligence community. Not all of them, but we do have bad actors there. We have bad actors that have been here in the U.S. waiting for something to happen because they expected Hillary to win. So there were things that were in the works that did not come to pass because she lost. And so with that, a lot of people are very, very upset and disappointed. They're getting fed up with Hillary. They're getting sick and tired of her not just going away. She won't be quiet. She hangs out. She wants to explain why she lost. And if she doesn't know, if she doesn't want to acknowledge why she lost, and she wants to blame it on all these other things, the investigation keeps up with the Russia because she wants to keep pushing that narrative. And each day that that continues, that investigation, it turns out those things end up exposing more of what the DNC and Hillary Clinton was up to. Now, Seth Bridge and Hillary Clinton and the DNC, all these things got buried over the last 6 months. And nobody seems to be really asking the questions anymore about what happened to these people. And they should. We heard briefly about the Awan brothers, who Debbie Wasserman Schultz had hired, and they were also managing these Awan brothers, to the DNC members, Democrats in Congress, and it turned out that they were funneling at least 30 members' information to private servers off, you know, the congressional area there, and so you got that. Then you had Wasserman Schultz, who was tied with them. But Wasserman Schultz had a thing about with Seth Rich, because Seth Rich worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And he was this 27-year-old kid that worked for the DNC. He was a tech guy. And this tech guy basically, I guess, became disillusioned with, disenchanted with the DNC, understanding all of their things that they were doing to steal the election, not only from Bernie Sanders, but as a whole. And he was the person that had given WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, the documentation, the Podesta emails, and other things to expose what was going on at the DNC, except even though some of the documentation made it to WikiLeaks, Seth Rich did not. He was found murdered. They at first said it was a robbery. You know, he was rolled over, so to speak, shot, killed, and robbed. But nothing was taken off of his purse. Everything on him was still there, his wallet, his watch, everything. So kind of a little bit suspicious. Then it turned up that another person within the DNC who was going to serve, or who had served Debbie Wasserman Schultz, he was suing her, having to do something with the election results and Bernie Sanders, because it was Bernie Sanders supporters that were bringing this lawsuit against Wasserman Schultz and the DNC. And, well, guess what? That person showed up dead. And so now they're saying in the news, some news is reporting, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had contacted MS-13 and put this hit out on Seth Rich and possibly this other person. So you're thinking, okay, what does Debbie Wasserman Schultz have to do with MS-13? Well, she doesn't directly, but through the Awan brothers and the Awan brothers and their connection to the Muslim Brotherhood and all these other dots that are connected, take her back, basically, and tie her into the MS-13 gang. So I thought that was very interesting. I don't know. These are all back-channel alternative news, not conspiracy theories, because conspiracy theory is a theory only in thought. That's why it's a theory. But once you bring any form of evidence to that same theory, it's no longer a theory because now it's a possibility if there's any form of evidence introduced to prove that theory. So it's not a conspiracy theory that these alternative media sources are putting together when they're connecting these dots. They're more of a possibility. And as the evidence begins to add up even further, as we continue into 2018, it will become even more clear about the probability of these things actually happening and the dots that were connected back to these various people. And, of course, they're all centered around this one little hub, and the hub has initials on it, HRC. But why? Why Hillary? Why is everything tied into Hillary? Who is she? I mean, other than Bill Clinton's wife, other than a senator who did squat while she served, other than a secretary of state that just really just committed a big mess, you know, as far as what she had done. I can't really think of anything positive. I wish I could. If there are any callers out there that can give me something positive that she did as Secretary of State that benefited our country and others, I'm willing to listen. Sarcasm alert. It was botched robbery. Why would anyone believe anything else? Nothing suspicious at all. This is what Chief says. Simple facts of life. Didn't do show last week. Oh, okay. So I didn't miss it. All right, that's good. Oh, we've got Chief still typing. We're going to take a quick break here, about 4 minutes, and, well, hopefully I'll be able to break into that sooner. But we're going to do that because I need to get something to drink. You grab something to drink, and we'll be right back.
Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples. And if any of them say the secret word, this duck we have up yonder will fly down and pay him $100. The word tonight is war. Okay, duck. Au revoir. He's a French duck. Mr. Fenneman, begin, huh?
Groucho, we have a cab driver for you. He's Mr. Maury Simon. His partner is a special guest, one of the great track and field coaches of all time, Mr. Dean Cromwell. So, folks, you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Well, welcome, welcome. For the DeSoto Plymouth dealer, say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you find around the house. Dean Cromwell, eh? Anybody who reads the sport pages know who you are, Mr. Cromwell. You're a fine-looking fellow, Dean. How old are you?
Well, my friends have been telling me for the past 20 years that I am 55.
Well, you don't look any older. Do you have any rules for keeping in such good condition?
Yes, sir. Groucho, do not have any minor vices. Don't smoke, nor drink, nor use swear words. No profanity, Groucho, no profanity.
Well, those are admirable qualities, Dean. I don't use profanity either, unless, of course, I have to give up smoking. Now, let's see. Who are you again?
I'm Maury Simon, Mr. Marks.
Maury Simon?
That's
it. Where are you from, Maury?
I was born behind a dairy that my dad owned in Cleveland, Ohio.
Are you a baseball fan, Maury?
Oh, I'm more than just a baseball fan. I used to work at the Cleveland Indian ballpark. I used to sell peanuts and popcorn and ice cream.
You
were... like to hear how I yelled? I used to vend.
Well, I'm not crazy about it, but I mean, if it's an overwhelming desire you have, why, tear loose.
Right, here's the way I used to go.
Peanuts, popcorn, crack, jet, fries, meat in every pack.
Then I used to have another one.
No wonder they lost the World Series.
There's another one I used to have. I used to sell ice cream. Did I say that? I had to go.
Yeah. Ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Bicker telling honey-coated ice cream here. Cooling and refreshing. Enjoy the game and ice cream.
Was this written by Robert Browning? Do people holler like that around where you work, Dean?
No, Peanuts? They're very, very quiet because my sport is individual sport.
I see. Well, let's get back. You've been track coach at USC for 30 years, haven't you?
40 years, Groucho.
Oh, well, my watch has stopped. Does the track coach give the boys a pep talk like they do in football in order to steam them up to win?
I always did, Groucho, yes. I told each one of those boys that he was a champion. I called him champ. Told him that he was going to be better tomorrow than he is today, that next year he's going to be better than this year. Continually keep that word champion in front of him.
Well, did you tell them this collectively?
Individually. And in the meantime, you keep them relaxed.
Well, how do you do that?
Hit
them with a baseball bat or something?
Talk to them gently. Oftentimes, you can tell them a short story.
Mm-hmm. Funny story?
It better be funny if you're going to keep them relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us one of these funny stories?
Uh-oh.
If the audience goes to sleep, we'll let Maury sell some more peanuts.
Well, two old gentlemen in bar sitting at a table in New York City. One gentleman says, I am 85 years old, and I've never used glasses. The other one said, why? And he says, I drink my liquor from a bottle.
Let's have the peanut thing once more.
Yeah.
Huh? He not only sells them, he steams them. Eh?
And the other old gentleman says...
Oh, this is...
The other old gentleman says...
Oh, I'm sorry, Dean. Yeah. I thought that was all there was to it.
Oh, this is... we're still going with the second one.
Oh, I see.
The other one says, I'm 86 and I have you beaten. I am 86 years old and I've never done a day's work in my life. But they got even with him. He died shortly after. They cremated him, put his ashes in an hourglass... And he's been working ever since.
You told this joke right before a track meet?
Yes.
Well, that joke would make anyone run fast.
Yes.
Including the person who told it. Dean, who are some of the famous... I like that.
Okay, I guess that was it. That was in that clip. I see caller 111 who has their hand up. Caller 111, are you there? You're on the air.
This is Chief. I'm here, but I don't...
I hear you.
Well, the other guy on the line.
Right. He put his hand up. A little question mark there. Letting me know he wanted to speak, or she. And they're not answering. So I don't know. Well, your mic is open, caller. And so if you want to chime in, go ahead. I have some... More, let's see here, from Chief that says, simple facts of life. Kerry gave a ton of money to Iran. Hillary just kept it for herself. Yes, she did.
Well, that was my take on, you wanted something positive about Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and at least she wasn't as bad as John Kerry. I mean... That guy was, I don't know whose side he was on. At least we knew Hillary was on Hillary's side. Kerry, I don't know whose side he was on, but it wasn't ours.
That's true. Yeah, well, okay, I'll give you that. But then, and she's so stingy, she couldn't even put together a decent reset button. She had to make it out of plastic. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yep. I have. Let's see what this is.
I want you to open your mind. I've almost...
I saw this video about this dude the other day. He was talking about working for the government. But he also talked about time travel and that he had time traveled And I was thinking, I'm hearing an awful lot more about that, what's going on. Now, with the mind control thing, maybe these frequencies that they're producing with the harp, because I don't know if listeners recall from my last show, was about mind control and the different patents that are out there that the government holds, and that they can actually do it through the radio, frequency waves, TV, and over the airwaves, and you won't even know about it. That you're being, basically you're being mind controlled to think, to vote for a certain person, or react a certain way, behave a certain way. And that's quite scary. And these, you know, that's not specifically what the harp antennas are being used for, but they can. They have that capability to put that wattage out there. And that's something to keep in mind next time there's something happening. These freakish, I don't know, shootings like Las Vegas, this nobody person out of the blue. We still don't know what's going on with that. It got swept underneath the carpet. I mean, there's a lot of things that got swept underneath the carpet this year. And it's, I don't know. I will contact my person in Congress to find out what's going on. It's my complaints or questions fall on deaf ears. It's Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris. Oy, they're talking about Kamala Harris making a run for president in 2020. I can't see it happening as far as her winning. Chief, do you know who Kamala Harris is for California?
Your communist senator?
A representative, yes.
No, she's not. She's a senator. And
okay, senator then, yes. Go ahead.
I remember the kind of primary. You had a jungle primary, and there wasn't even any Republicans on the ballot.
Which, I know.
I found kind of interesting. This shows how this state is. Of course, I live in a state that's 90% conservative, except that 80% of the people live in the other 10% of the state. So California's a lot like that too. You can go up to Bakersfield or Fresno or someplace, and it's pretty conservative. In fact, once you get north of Sacramento, you get into the state of Jefferson, and there are a few people actually serious about that. I did a show all about the history of that movement a few months ago, because I was talking to a couple highway patrol officers up in California when I just got pulled into my inspection. And I was talking to them, and this was up in the area north of Redding, or in the Redding area, and they were into it. They wanted, I mean, as representatives of the state of California, they had to be a little circumspect, but they didn't want to be representatives of the state of California. They wanted to work for the state of Jefferson Highway Patrol. That was what they would have liked to see. So that's what California is like a lot of states, insofar as you've got a lot of liberal people living in small areas of the state, and but that's where the people are. You know, Oregon's the same way. I think like 75% of the population of Oregon lives within 25 miles of the Willamette River, which runs basically from Eugene to Portland. And that's where everybody lives. You go out to eastern, you know, Bend, Oregon, out in the desert and places like that, pretty conservative.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way a lot of states are. I know of one guy who, and this would never happen, but he had an idea that states should sort of adopt sort of like a federal system where they'd have an electoral college.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, each county would get a little more representation than just so that it wouldn't be like in California. I mean, Los Angeles County has what, like 8-10
Leave a message
people?
After the beep. Deje un recado después del tono.
Sorry about that, Chief. Go ahead. That was Pete Moss.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I was just saying that if each county had a little, you know, more representation in obviously Los Angeles County is going to dominate the poll just because of the population, like they dominate mm-hmm. the federal election. But when you're voting for president, you know whose vote counts more than anybody else's? Is somebody that lives in Wyoming. And whose vote counts less is somebody that lives in California. So that's because of the way the Electoral College is set up. And if states would do a lot of that, particularly Illinois is probably the best example. They're pretty close, but Cook County has so much of the population, that's the city of Chicago, they have so much of the population that all the governors are always Chicago people. But I think they have a Republican right now, but if outside of Chicago, and I guess probably Springfield, because anywhere where there's a state government is going to be anywhere where the government is the main business, it's going to be liberal. I mean, even Austin, Texas is pretty liberal, but in other places, if there was a little more proportional, if the representation was spread out more among the states, there'd be a lot more Republican governors and senators and such than there are, just because, you know, like New York City has, and the the five counties in New York City and the couple other counties to the north and east of there, I mean, that has fully half of the population, probably more than half of the population of New York State.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even if you get out to eastern Long Island, there are some conservatives out there. You don't even have to go that far from New York, a few miles north, conservatives. So you go to Binghamton, Syracuse, anywhere like that, and you can find a more conservative population, but they don't matter because half of the population is in that city that reelected the communist mayor.
Right.
So,
and that's sad. That's very unfortunate. I mean, California, that's why New York and California, I think they're competing with each other as far as who can one-up each other to be the most stupid.
Good news, you win.
And California takes it by a mile. Oh, they're so stupid. They would probably bow and say, thank you.
Andrew Cuomo is no genius, but at least he is from planet Earth. Your governor, on the other hand, I ain't sure where he's from.
He's from outer space somewhere. Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Governor
Moonbeam.
Well, you heard what I just said, right? As far as he says stupid, he would probably bow and say, thank you, thank you. For winning that award. What a moron.
Yes.
Pardoning all these illegal immigrants. They're still illegal. And it kills me when they say they have rights too. Where? Because it's not here. If you're illegal, you have zero status. If you have no status, you have no rights. But New York did beat us on that one, though, as far as Cuomo did more. Pardon more, so. And that was in the last recent weeks.
But, you know, I have heard that somewhere along the line, the Supreme Court said that constitutional rights are applied to persons as opposed to citizens. And that has always bothered me because in many respects, especially in places like California, the citizens seem to have fewer rights because they'll bend over backwards to protect a non-citizen, especially one that's illegal, because they have to be a sanctuary. And I've said I would like to see a constitutional amendment that says basically the rights enumerated in the Constitution are guaranteed to citizens of the United States only. And you could put another sentence in there that says that doesn't have anything, you know, that does nothing in that would impugn anything in the 10th Amendment. States can give rights to citizens, but the federal government should not be involved in paying for anything for non-citizens. And frankly, do you want a non-citizen to have the right to bear arms?
No.
No.
If they're a non-citizen, they're a foreign person on our soil with a weapon. And no, I do not. And just to interject real quick, in Los Angeles alone, and it's all up and down our state, actually, but Los Angeles is particularly bad right now. With hi, caller, I see you with your hand up. I'll get to you in just a second. There are more homeless people, black community people, than there are Hispanic illegal people, if you will, on living in tents, street after street after street. Tents, nothing but tents, and a lot of black people walking around homeless, you know, and it cracks me up because I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Anyways, let me open your mic, caller. Go ahead.
You're talking about, what was the issue you were speaking of? The political agenda of guns and control, gun control, or...
Gun control, we're speaking of illegal immigration. Chief was sharing with us what his thoughts were, and very knowledgeable as far as California and New York. And the last question that he had said was that we wouldn't want to have a person who is not a citizen of the United States to be able to have a gun. What is your reaction?
Well, my reaction is, I'm not a person, I'm not a citizen of the United States. I'm not a U.S. citizen. Okay, particularly. All right.
Okay.
And I have the right to have a gun. I have that right. Okay, because I'm an American citizen. I have constitutional rights.
Uh huh.
Yes,
Ron.
Do you know who this is? Do you know who this is you're talking to?
I do. This is Crazy Nation's Ron Rack.
Crazy Nation Radio. Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
I heard you guys talk about it. I said, yeah, I got to butt in on this, just throw it my way a little bit, you know. Yeah.
I was waiting.
You know,
I was waiting. That whole citizenship thing, I was like, okay, he's coming in. He's coming in. Where is he?
You sound a little bit better. That's good. I hear voices coming back. That's great. I know you're about out of time, too. But, you know, my show starts in 30 minutes after yours. So there you go.
Okay, great.
That's going to be crazy. Of course, you know I'm crazy. That's why.
My chief was on your show talking about the
truck. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, chief, how are you doing? Excellent.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I got back on the road in Barstow, California.
And, you're in the warm part of the country. Yeah, we're getting frostbite here.
I'm heading back up to Oregon in a couple of days. Hopefully it won't be too bad, but yeah, I wanted to get out of there. But my point, I was talking about, you know, rights, you know, constitutional rights for citizens versus non-citizens. And I know there were Supreme Court rulings about that that says, okay, rights apply to persons. But there's a difference to me, at least, between human rights, which apply to persons, and constitutional civil rights, which I believe should apply to citizens only. That would be like the right to bear arms.
But you got to look at the two constructs of this. The two things that people don't realize is there's two different types of citizens in this country. Okay, there's a U.S. citizen that pledges allegiance to the United States government, which is a corporation. Okay, and there is an American citizen. Okay, which has constitutional rights. If you pledge allegiance to the United States citizen, that means that you are allegiance to a corporate-controlled system, okay, which dates back into the 1666, back way back in the days when people during the London fires and the bubonic plague, okay, the Black Plague. Remember that in London?
Yeah.
That's how far back this shit goes. I mean, it goes way back. But the thing is, it's what you declare who you are, what you are. That's how you have a right. And the problem is people are educated to believe that, you know, if you ask on average, on 97% of most of the people you'll ever encounter, if you ask them a question, ask them, are you a U.S. citizen? They'll say, yes, I am. Okay. The thing is, when you claim that you're not, and you claim that you are an American citizen, that means you pledge allegiance to your country, not to your governor. See what I'm saying? We're talking to government, which is a governor. You know what I'm saying? So you're pledging allegiance. You're giving contracts to them to give them control of you.
I understand. I'm speaking a little more in common. Common parlance. I have heard what you said about that before, but it makes sense. But you know, like I said, 97% of the people, 97% of scientists believe global warming is but we know that's not true. But
it's the same thing. Like, say, bullshit's bullshit. I believe bullshit because bullshit is bullshit. I mean, you know. When a bull shits, it's shit. That's the reality. You know, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Wait a minute. Let me chime in. I think it's bullshit.
But if a bull shits, an actual bull takes a shit out in the field. It's a shit. Bullshit. It's shit.
Right.
It should be his shit. So why should you claim it? I'm sorry, guys.
Shite, shit, whatever.
Exactly.
Well,
wait, I'm gonna back out of here, guys. I gotta back out. Is it chief, captain? What? I can't. I'm sorry, I lost it.
Yeah. No, the point, you know, whether you say United States citizen, American citizen, I understand. But my point had to do with the difference between human rights and constitutional rights. It doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not. I mean, you have certain
right.
rights, life,
well,
liberty,
sure, absolutely.
Pursuit of happiness. But if you
the rights
are
to a human should be the law of nature. You know what
right.
I mean? It should be the law of nature, really.
Well,
I think
that's
my
opinion. You know, okay, we don't, you know, you don't get tortured and that sort of thing, and you don't have your if you come in to the United States or America or Arizona or whatever, you know, you cross the demarcation line. If you bring some personal property with you, that you have a human right to that property, the government
right.
should not simply be allowed to seize it if it's your
right.
property.
But
that's
you got to remember,
human,
but you gotta remember
right.
though. Right, but Chief, you got to remember, you're saying different things. You're talking two different. You got to understand the definitions of what these are.
No, wait.
Government. When you say government, I mean the ability to be able to control you. It's governed, right? Okay. What country are you going to? Are you going to the United States? Or are you going to America? Which one are you going to? That's my point. You know what I mean about that?
Yeah.
That's what the difference is, you know, I think.
Well, yeah, I know. I've heard what you said about, you know, you're standing in court and that sort of thing. You
mm-hmm.
don't cross the bar
right.
and all that. I've
mm-hmm.
heard that. Very interesting stuff. But, you know, it's a little arcane, and most people are not going to get that deep into it like you have. Probably should, I'll grant it. But,
well, the sad
again,
part is
let me jump in here for a second. What if
I'm
a person
sorry.
Enters the United States that had zero status? So that would mean that they were here illegally, they snuck across the border, but they have firearms. Should they be allowed
well, the
to
problem,
keep?
That's a tough question for me. It's a tough one for me. It depends how they're coming in. Are you coming in as you're coming into the United States or you're coming into America? Which one of the two?
They're entering. They're crossing the U.S. border illegally.
Okay.
Means, you know, they're not notifying anybody
that they're
entering the country.
Right. That should not be allowed by the controlling factor. By the controlling factor, no, that's not should not be allowed. Of course not.
Well, the point I think Suzette is making is you're dealing with the human right to your property.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the constitutional right to bear arms. My solution to that would be if you are not a citizen, you should not have the right to bear arms. And the
but not a citizen of what? A citizen of what?
You can't. I understand where you're coming from, but you can't really, for this discussion at least, get that far into it because. Most people, you know, citizen of America, the United States, doesn't matter to most people that are listening because the government, they're the people with the guns, and they can tell you what you're a citizen of with a gun in your face if it comes to
no.
that.
I can argue that a little bit. No, I can't. No, they can't. No,
well,
I'm sorry about that. They can't force me.
The average citizen knows.
If they force me to do anything, that's communism.
Well, yeah, you know, that's it. You know, Mao's famous saying, all power comes from the barrel of a gun. That's what it is. You know, the point I'm just trying to make is you keep trying to split hairs about citizen of this, citizen of that.
Right.
But
right.
in the end, if there's somebody who has more physical power than you, which might mean more guns or more whatever, that is the government, and you got to
right.
deal. You got to deal
right.
with them, so you can split
they're
all.
Getting, it's also, they're also cheap. They also call them slave masters. Hey guys,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I gotta go. I gotta get off here. I gotta run.
Okay.
My show starts in like another 30 minutes. All right, I'll see you guys. Hey, I appreciate the call. coming. I'm sorry. I appreciate you calling listening to me. I'm sorry. It's great to talk with you guys. But I got something else right now in the middle. Yeah, about 30 minutes, guys. All right. I'm sorry. I'll see you later. You have a good night.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. That was Ron Reck from Crazy Nation Radio.
Yeah.
And
Ron.
Go ahead, Chief.
Well, I was just saying, Ron always makes interesting points, but I think for, you know, what I was talking about, he was wanting to split the hairs, and I don't know, maybe I'm the one with no brains here, but it just seems like you're not. I was talking about rights, you know, citizen of whatever you want to call it. Who has which rights do you have? Because, you know, in Los Angeles there, you have all these people exercising their free speech rights, and many of whom are not citizens, yet they have a right to burn a United States flag to protest our government in our country? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because the Constitution says, yes, you can peacefully assemble, you know, for redress of grievances, but if you're not a citizen, the way you solve your grievances is to go back to your own country. You know, you head 150 miles south of where you are, you know, a couple hundred miles south of where I am, and protest against the government. See how far that goes. The Mexicans are not going to put up with it.
Right, right. Nope, you're right. And for all and extensive purposes, your the citizenship argument with or debate with Ron Reck, the average person doesn't know the depths of what his argument or debate was. So for it would be general purposes citizenship. Right. I think is what you were referring to.
Yeah, that's it. I like some of the things Ron has said about how to deal if you go to court and what not to say to, you know, because of the organs. That's maybe some useful information if it ever comes to that. If I have to go to court, I'll be sure to call his show and and take a lot of notes when he explains it to me. For general discussion of rights, I think that the rights, human rights, you know, are human rights. Constitutional rights are constitutional rights, and the Constitution should, in my opinion, apply to citizens. There are responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
If you're not a citizen, you're not subject to being drafted if you're here illegally or something. I guess you're here on a green card or something. Maybe you are, but I've had a lot of issues with that.
We have a person joining us. I am the universe. I'll just refer to the person as I. Had typed in there, considerable number of U.S. soldiers are not citizens. And it says that that they even met one from Kenya once.
If you want stories about that, I've got plenty of them.
He says, I have them from South America to East Africa. So,
back in the day, in the United States Navy, there was a special deal with the government of the Philippines, and a lot of Filipinos would join the Navy. Now, I mean, you pretty much had to have a college degree just to join the Navy as a, enlisted swab jockey. They were kind of selective on who they took, but there were a lot of them. Most of them, you know, used it as a path to get, you know, they to get the citizen, become citizens of the United States. But they not, but many of them weren't. In fact, I knew there was a guy in my division on one ship. I worked in the navigation division, operations. It required some kind of a security clearance, not a really high level, but had to have some kind of a security clearance to do the job I did, just because I had access to some operational information. And mm-hmm. so, and we had a guy a Filipino guy from the deck department, or the deck, you know, just the deck division.
Mm-hmm.
You call them deck apes, or, you know, maybe swab jockeys, whatever you want to call them. And he came into our division, and he wanted to, you know, and he did a good job because he's a smart guy. And so, you know, and he went through the process over time to become a petty officer, you know, rating, and he took the test. And when the results from the test came back, it said foreign national hold. And because not being a citizen, he was not eligible to get a security clearance. Therefore, he could not be in this rating. And here's the interesting thing. Here's the punchline of this story. The chief in that division went to, somewhere, the State Department or somewhere at the time with this guy to try and get this sorted out. And you know what they told him?
What's that?
That as far as the State Department was concerned, this guy was an illegal alien.
Oh, wow.
He had been in the Navy for years through that program,
right.
But the state of, they ran all the immigration and naturalization at the time. It was before there was Department of Homeland Security, so basically
that was like a slap in the face.
Yeah,
for him.
And so I, you know, just to be politically incorrect, I was joking. I started calling him Wetback.
Oh, no. Well, I am the universe because many of them are from Manila.
Yeah, I believe he event. I saw him on one of the. I saw his name on one of the military social media sites, and he had eventually become a chief, but not in that he was a master at arms, which is kind of a ship's cop, and that was what he was doing.
The universe says that some of these people barely speak English or know English at all, and they're speaking of it says in the consulates and embassies also full of Manila's finest, and I think speaking personal of the Manila.
Another story on that is we had a Filipino guy. He was on the ship I was on before. He was in our division. He was in the navigation division, and I believe that he had actually gone through the school, and he didn't come out of deck. He came straight to the ship out of the Navy school for the navigation and went into our division, and he was a Filipino guy. So, you know, and this was before the incident I described earlier, but he was a good guy, smart, did a good job, but he spoke good English, but his accent was so heavy that you couldn't understand him on the phone hardly. I mean, you could barely talk to the guy, and eventually, the powers that be in the division basically kicked him out of our division because they worked with other divisions. This was an aircraft carrier, and they got him a job in the in the division that does the maintenance on like the support equipment, you know, the trackers that tow the planes around and that sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, and they got him, a job that he wanted. They didn't just like sometimes some other guys just can't cut it or they're just too dumb and or whatever the case may be. And so they were just, you're out of here. But they worked with this guy to get him a job he wanted, but he could not speak English understandably. And it was sad.
That could be, make things very difficult.
Yeah, well, part of the job that the guy, when he first got into that division, the watch he stood was the guy who would be the guy who kept the ship's official deck log, right down, you know, changing the course and what's going on and that. But part of that job was you were sort of the receptionist for the pilot house, and people would call up to the bridge, and he was the guy who would answer the phone, you know. If you weren't calling directly to one of the, like, the captain or the navigator, somebody that had their own number. But if you just called to the bridge, that was the guy who would answer the phone, and you couldn't understand him. So, yeah.
Wow. That's too bad. Well, with these bases that we have all over the world right now, I guess you would run into a lot of that type of thing happening. I think, in my opinion, I don't think we need all those bases all over the world. First of all, number one. Number two, the communication gap right there, getting back to that part anyway, would make it very difficult to manage that office or embassy in this case, as I was referring to, as far as embassies and consulates. But I think we need to close a lot of those bases. Chief, you being a military man, and with NATO, their whole expansion thing, what do you think about that as far as closing our a lot of the bases? Do you think that they're necessary, really, in this day and age?
Probably not, but I like what the president has said. He wants those people to pick up the tab. I've always thought, you know, United States military is pretty good, and we should have adopted the medieval Swiss model. You know, you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I'm gonna have you explain it to me because I would like to know.
Well, you know who the Swiss Guards are at the Vatican, right?
Yes.
They guard the Pope, and then, well, do you know why they are Swiss?
No. I just recently had some read something. Go ahead, tell me. But I'd recently heard something about that.
They're, because there is a tradition, the Swiss were the medieval Europe were the world's foremost mercenary soldiers.
Okay.
The saying was, no money, no Swiss. And they were good. And if you were some king or potentate and you needed an army and you had money but you didn't have soldiers, you hired Swiss. And they would win the war for you for a price.
Uh-huh.
And they were good. They still are good. Those guys that guard the Pope, you know, they dress in the ceremonial outfits. But
uh-huh.
you don't see the guys in the camouflage with the machine guns. You do
right.
not want to mess with the Swiss Guards. They are they are the toughest guys in the world. Well, if you remember back in the, you know, the 91 Gulf War, I believe that the United States actually turned a profit on that war because the Saudis and the Kuwaitis and all that, they paid for it. And we sent our forces out over there for a price.
Mm-hmm.
And and kicked the Iraqis' butts and then left. And they paid the United States billions of dollars to have that done. And if the Europeans want security, I think we should do it for a price. It would help the balance of trade, national debt, all that. I like the idea of having a very larger than we need military for the simple reason it keeps people from messing with us.
That's true. I said that the Germans say Yankees go home, and it's spray painted on the entrance to an autobahn in central Germany, in a town called, let me see, Remscheid. Oh, gosh, I can't even pronounce that right. My German right now, I only took it in high school, but Remscheid, which is a part of Operation Iraqi Liberation. Okay, that's what I'm reading, what he said there. But I think as far as that goes, I agree with you there. I don't think we need NATO anymore. I think NATO is a danger to having any type of relationship with Russia, any type of communication. We don't have to be best buddies with them, but I think it's important to have some type of relationship. I think NATO is in the way of that, and they're only going to make things worse as far as being partners of war.
You know, the advantage of having bases overseas in various places is that we can, you know, it gives us a little flexibility if we want to, you know, do something. I mean, my friend in Japan, his wife works at the Yokota Air Base, I think it is, she works at. And, you know, and the thing is, we can station things forward if we need them. We can't always get an aircraft carrier in there, you know, everywhere, because we only have a certain number of them. Now, foreign military bases, they have rules. Aircraft carriers can go wherever they want and don't have to ask anybody's permission to, you know, if they want to launch a strike. But still in all, you know, it allows us to build up or bring it down, you know, as the case may be. If the infrastructure is there, because if we have to fight a war, we still want to fight it over there and not here, because wars are really nasty for the places where they're fought. And that's one of the huge advantages the United States has had. We have not had a war on our soil since 1865. So, you know,
we go out because we're the big bullies. And we are going out and starting wars for money.
That's the other side of it. You know, I was talking about, you know, being mercenaries and such, but the other side of that, of course, is there are, when there's a profit to be made, there are people who are going to go after the profits.
Of our men and women, our daughters, our husbands, our wives, our family members that are going over there. And these poor people, I mean, they do it for love of country or for whatever personal reason. But the thing is that they're told that they're fighting out there in order to prevent anything from happening on our soil. They're told that they're fighting for our country. But our country wasn't in any type of imminent danger from these other people. I mean, you know, as far as Iraq goes. And so, I don't know. It just seems to me like right now we're on the border of Russia. What for? The only time that Russia's not a threat, only and unless, you know, we screw it up as far as any type of relationship with them. And right now, with our country blaming them for something that they didn't do as far as the whole election thing, and just, you know, prodding. And then you've got NATO on there, but because of the Ukraine they wanted to help them, and they didn't need to, because they weren't a part of the NATO group in the first place, but they were sticking their nose in that and trying to start something as far as with Russia, trying to protect Ukraine. But that was overturned. It was like a coup or whatever that had happened to put that one person in charge and take it away from Russia. They are a part of Russia. I don't know. It just seems to me like we need to get the hell off those borders.
I think a lot of it is the merchants of death and the bankers and all these people that stand to make a profit from it. And, you know, I think I mentioned, you know, maybe before somewhere else that part of the problem is if we want to keep Lockheed Martin going and Boeing and Raytheon and Ingalls Shipbuilding and all these companies that supply our weapons, we kind of need to, we need to have a reason to buy weapons. So if we don't shoot off missiles now and then the production line has to shut down. That's a really sad kind of fact of life. But so...
Well, yes and no. I mean, that would definitely shut down the military-industrial complex and a lot of backdoor negotiations to, you know, countries and groups that don't need to be armed or you know, put in any position to start wars, I guess.
It's you know, it's way above my pay grade, your pay grade, all these, you know, what they're thinking about. I kind of understand, you know, that we can't do like we did in World War II, you know, that they managed to ramp up, you know, that you couldn't buy a new car in World War II because all the auto factories were making tanks and jeeps and that sort of thing. And, you know, all the airplane factories were making warplanes and that sort of thing. So, you know, it ground everything to a halt as far as the civilian and, you know, started our whole huge national debt because, you know, and they say wartime can be good for the economy, but it's all borrowed money. People, you know, they sell bonds and whatnot. So, I don't know. They want to keep the industries going, but the cost of that, not only in terms of the money, but in terms of human suffering, is pretty immense. And I don't really know. I have no answer to what to do about it.
I was just curious about what your opinion was. Being a military or ex-military, I don't know if you can still consider yourself. Sometimes they say, once in the military, always a military man. So I don't know. But if we do have 4 minutes. We're winding down. I want to say welcome to No Way Out. I'm so glad you came. Crazy Nation Radio will be on, I guess, in about 20 minutes. We've got Chief from Simple Facts of Life. His show is on tomorrow. Chief, I'm going to go ahead and let you plug your show and tell us what the theme is or topic is for tomorrow and give us a hint about what's going on.
Well, I figure I was just sort of putting it together. I'm probably going to talk a little bit about, what's happened over the last year, the good, the bad, the ugly, and just sort of talk about that. As always, I, intend to keep it light, serious issues, less than serious attitude. Want to call in and get equally crazy. People will listen, see how crazy I can be. But I don't take it seriously. I try to have a little fun with the news. So that's what I do. 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. So depending on where you are, it will be my last show of 2017 or my first show of 2018.
There you go. All right, I like it. Okay, folks. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to get something for my throat. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next year. No Way Out Radio tomorrow night. Oh, wait. No, that was last night. I'm sorry. That's right, last night. And so next Friday. Oh, tonight. Oh, okay. Sunday night. I'm trying to read here. My board doesn't open all the way. No Way Out Radio, Sunday night. And then we've got the Simple Facts of Life on Sunday night. Oh, we've got back-to-back shows. I'm so excited. Lots to listen to tomorrow, folks. So tune in. We'll see you next year. Have a wonderful, happy new year. Be safe. Be safe. And be kind to one another. Good night. Let's see. What key was that again? Oh, yeah.